This is Bloomberg Business of Sports.
The world's changing, and what are things we can do to transform our business and engage our fans globally in different ways?
People are using their name and likeness to create more opportunities, more stakes in companies.
In order to turn the organization around, we had to turn it around not only just on the baseball operations side, but on the business operations side.
Football and any other sport is very difficult, but I like to broaden my horizons and be able to expand.
Sports need to be consumed live, and that's a big competitive advantage for intellectual property holders of sports content in the media landscape.
Bloomberg Business of Sports
from Bloomberg Radio.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jason Kelly.
And I'm Mike Lynch.
And I'm Michael Barr. And this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports.
And let's talk about money and sports this week. So much sloshing around. We got to head back to last week. Late in the week, we heard, courtesy of the Wall Street Journal, about ESPN, the worldwide leader, talking about a sports betting deal. So much to dig into here. This is a deal potentially worth at least $3 billion, according to this report. Michael Barr, I want to start with you because you know the gambling world so well. You use some of these apps. You obviously watch ESPN. This feels like a moment of validation. It feels like a moment that a lot of people have been waiting for as we really move closer and closer to sports betting just being widely available and maybe more importantly, widely accepted.
The line of demarcation where I always said this is going to take off and be big was when the NFL embraced sports betting. Remember, years ago, the league said, no. That's taboo. It's like, poo, icky, get that away. When the league endorsed it, it was on. And it was only a matter of time before ESPN got involved.
And so, Lynchy, this really is it feels to me like a seminal moment with ESPN, partially out of necessity. I mean, they need more revenue. The cable world we know is decelerating, declining, de-somethinging. We're not sure exactly how fast it's going to go or where exactly it's going to go. But them embracing it does feel notable, especially when you look at the broader media landscape.
Well, they've got 11.5 million subscribers right now. They have credibility and visibility, which is, I assume, two of the reasons that Caesars and DraftKings are going after them. The needle moved on both their stocks on Friday when this news broke. I think 4.25% for Caesars and about 2.5% for Disney. And, you know, it's legitimate right now. I mean, this is going to be a big year for sports gambling. More than $4 billion, I believe, is going to be bet. And football season is here. College football has started. NFL is around the corner. And that is the biggest for legalized sports gambling. And you get a brand name right here with ESPN. The point that does ESPN want to be associated with it and sell their name to these two entities?
And it feels like the answer is yes. I mean, one of the interesting things here is ESPN has the ability, if they do one of these partnerships, to essentially not do it themselves. And Barr, you understand the mechanics of this better than probably Lynchy and I do in terms of, you know, you have to be regulated in order to actually process the bets. This would be a media partnership. This would allow them to compete a little bit more head-to-head with the likes of Fox. They've launched Fox Bet. They're trying to compete directly with DraftKings and FanDuel. That is a platform that underneath it is the sports betting firm Stars Group, and you have Sinclair getting together with Bally's. You have CBS in a partnership with William Hill. It feels like ESPN may be a little bit behind here.
Full disclosure, I use Fox Bet a lot.
Okay.
So, and you're exactly right, ESPN.
I think the a lot was understood. I think you could have just said I use
it. I know. TMI. But yeah, I mean, ESPN, I don't want to use the phrase coming late to the party, but that's the best way to describe it. And there's a lot of money in this. And you're talking about a network who has seen a drop in revenue in the past few years. And you said something else that was very important, regulated.
Yeah.
And anybody who used to play poker online years ago when it was, you know, out of the Cayman Islands or wherever this was, it wasn't regulated here in the U.S., and that was one of the reasons why it collapsed and shut down. Now it is totally regulated, and here it is. And I definitely see ESPN joining the game.
Well, it's interesting, too, because there's a great story on the terminal today and on Bloomberg.com, Lynchy, by our own Chris Palmieri out in Los Angeles, who looks after entertainment and gaming for us. And it's talking about Wynn Resorts. They're going to spend $100 million plus just in the football season marketing their new sports betting app. It's called WynnBET, and it's very clever. But they've got an ad that's just debuted with Ben Affleck, of course, notable actor, director, and Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq. He's a brand ambassador for that app. And so this is very competitive out there already. And yet ESPN, even with declining subscribers, even with declining revenue, not being the driver that it once was for the Walt Disney Company, them getting into this in any way totally changes the landscape. And I think it's safe to say it's sort of like, and I say this as a father of a three-year-old who is the biggest Disney Plus consumer on the planet, I am confident. You know, when they got into the streaming world, Disney Plus, all of a sudden it changed. Even when ESPN Plus debuted, especially once it got going with the UFC underneath that, ESPN getting into something changes the landscape immediately.
It does, and I wonder what the parent company, Walt Disney, thinks of being associated with gambling, even though it's legalized gambling right now. And the other thing I think about is ESPN's got a leg up on everybody else. No matter what type of wager you bet, even if it's just playing in a weekly knockout pool, you're scrambling for information. And if you hear like the majority of the people said, okay, I like the Packers this week, then you go with it. So I think, you know, this daily wager show that ESPN has is going to be, I think it's a great marriage if they can hook up with DraftKings or Caesars, because they have the credibility and the visibility. Those are two words that keep coming into the front of my mind with this.
Yeah, so interesting to see where this goes, and you know, eager to see whether if ESPN gets into the fold, you know, maybe we see our in-house bettor here, you know, migrate, take his talents over to the new ESPN site. We'll see. He votes with his feet, with his clicks. Let's go over to the world of college sports. This is a lawsuit I've been fascinated by. It's between UCLA and Under Armour. UCLA suing Under Armour for $200 million after Under Armour said peace out during the coronavirus pandemic over what was then the richest deal between an apparel maker and a college athletic program in UCLA. And UCLA basically saying this is bogus, a judge agreeing with them, at least so far, not dismissing the lawsuit. Lynchy, I'm fascinated by this in part because we've been talking so much about money and college sports. I had a long conversation with my dad about this over the weekend, and sort of, you know, looking at, he lives down south and seeing all the realignment. That's another story to some extent, but this is all about money. This is all about big companies like Under Armour getting into this. What do you make of this lawsuit?
Well, it looks like they reneged on a deal. Yeah. They had a $280 million deal. They failed to meet payments. They failed to deliver merchandise. While at the same time, all UCLA coaches were wearing Under Armour gear. Under Armour contends that the baseball team only played half their scheduled games last year, and that gave them an out. I don't know if they have an out for a pandemic. you know, many people now going forward will. But this is a big, huge, huge deal. I don't know who's trying to call me here.
It's Under Armour calling. They're not happy.
It's my granddaughter calling me on FaceTime. Hey, hold on, Grampy. I like Under Armour.
I'm wearing Under Armour right now. And I was thinking about going to UCLA.
Grandpa.
How dare you?
But at the same time, UCLA has made a counter move, and they may have signed a deal in December with Nike and Air Jordan.
Yeah.
So they're sort of protecting themselves while they watch this case go forward. I'm glad the judge decided not to throw this out.
Well, it's interesting to me, Barr, too, to feather in the NIL element to all of this, where now we're in this era where college players are going to be able to cut their own deals. That does take a little bit of the power, I think, away from the big college programs to some extent. You could also make an argument that it makes college sports even richer over the in the long haul. But I don't know. What do you make of this deal?
Well, a couple of things. One, you're exactly right. And the NIL has changed everything. I mean, the whole landscape just you know, put them out in here and dig a hole there. The tomography of NIL and the landscape of college sports has changed. But two, I always wonder, and we talked about this at least a year ago, about insurance for COVID. And I just wonder if there was some insurance clause that was out there in case something like this happened. And I'm wondering if somebody's going to play that card.
Yeah. Interesting. So we'll keep an eye on that one as well. We got to talk about, as we head toward the opening of the NFL season, exhibition play is over. And, you know, I candidly found it a little hard to watch some of the exhibition games just because, like, who's that guy? Where is he from? I know, you know, I feel for the players. They're literally fighting for their careers, playing for their careers, but you're not seeing a lot of familiar names. But we are entering into a week where the NFL, Mike Lynch, is going to get underway. And the numbers are looking good from a vaccination perspective. Vaccination rates nearing 94% for the league. I have to say, I am pleasantly surprised by that. But you did see some positive tests, some cases at the Tennessee Titans. You know, these were folks who had been vaccinated. We will see how the NFL continues to deal with this. What the Titans did was they basically said, the show must go on. We're isolating Coach Mike Vrabel as well as quarterback Ryan Tannehill. They were coached by some assistants, and they kept playing. There's a lot more on the line economically. We've talked a lot about this on this show. What do you make of the start of the season, especially when it comes to all of this looming, Lynching?
Well, I'm going to keep my eye on Tuesday at 4 o'clock. That's when the cuts have to be made by teams. Mm-hmm. And I go back to Brandon Bean, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills, was asked back in May if it came down to a player who was the equal players on the bubble, one vaccinated, the other non-vaccinated. He said, I'm going to go with the vaccinated guy. Less headaches for me and for my team. And he immediately got a call from the National Football League. I can guarantee you that the National Football League's Players Association is going to be watching these cuts very, very carefully, mm-hmm. and see if how many players that are cut are players that are non-vaccinated, because it's a problem for teams. They have to travel separately. For instance, let's go with Cam Newton of the New England Patriots. Last week he went off.
Somebody out of the hat, right?
just pull it out of the air.
Just like, who? Just picking a random player. Go on.
Well, he went out of the area of New England for some medical treatment. He violated NFL protocols. When he came back, he had to miss 5 days of practice because he was not vaccinated. And he went to get a test. You have to have your test administered by an NFL-sanctioned person. He got it tested by somebody else. So in a big week where they were having practices with the New York Giants, and there's a quarterback controversy going on in New England with Mac Jones, Cam Newton missed 5 days of practice, so that admitted that he is not vaccinated. So when the quarterback meetings are going on, Bill Belichick is sitting there with Mac Jones, he's sitting there with Brian Hoyer and all the other quarterbacks in one room, and Cam Newton has to sit in another room and watch the meeting virtually until he gets vaccinated.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a problem for a lot of teams, a lot of coaches going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I also think about it, we've been talking about this a lot in terms of the players' reactions to each other, people putting their livelihoods and maybe more importantly, other people's livelihoods at stake by not getting vaccinated. You know, we've had the NFL take a very hard line and essentially say, if a team has to forfeit, not getting paid. You're not getting paid and the other team's not getting paid. And I know it's an issue that you have talked about a lot.
I have brought this up many times, and Chris Collinsworth, bless his heart, he said exactly what I was thinking. And now when you got to go down to 54 from what was it, 80? Is it 80 down to 54 or whatever for an NFL team?
Yeah.
There are some that, they're going to get cut because, well, this guy plays better than this guy. But I want to keep my eye, just like Lynchy said, how many are going to get cut because you're not vaccinated? And it comes down to if you got two players and it's a tie and one is vaccinated and the other isn't, I'm not going to lie. The unvaccinated one might have to go because if I'm thinking about the team, I might, forget all the political stuff in that. I'm talking about for the team of any NFL team, you got to think about that franchise itself and the vaccinated player helps that franchise.
Right. And obviously we're going to see as the season progresses, as teams start to move around, you know, what the different rules are going to be. It was interesting to see that the Bucks, the Super Bowl champion, defending Super Bowl champion Bucks, their coach Bruce Arians saying last week he may require a mask at all times at the team facility, regardless of vaccination status. He's already said when we're on the road, when the Bucks are on the road, nobody's leaving their hotel rooms while we're there, again, regardless of status. So you've got coaches and team owners and team executives and maybe players themselves, you know, starting to make different decisions. This is not the season I think a lot of people expected. I think people thought, all right, we're going to be back in business. We are expecting in most places to have full stadiums of folks watching. We don't know fully, you know, stadium by stadium what the mask mandates are going to be. I think one of the interesting tests for big sporting events in the current environment is going to be the U.S. Open, which is starting today as we're taping on Monday out in Flushing, Queens, and no mask required for the vaccinated in the stands. That could change over the course of the tournament, but we're going to see the NFL season get underway this weekend. We're going to see real college football get underway. There are a couple of games this past weekend, but you've got some big games coming up. I believe Clemson and Georgia are playing this weekend, mm-hmm. so that's going to be one to watch, especially given the way that the virus is moving around the Southeast. So, Lynchy, a lot to look forward to and a lot of big question marks, especially, and even we'll close out by saying this, still don't know who the quarterback of the New England Patriots is going to be, right?
We may have a better idea at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Yeah. And so when we reconvene on Wednesday, who knows? This whole landscape could be completely changed.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. I'm Michael Barr. Oh, and Michigan won the Little League World Series. They beat Ohio. First of all, shout out to Michigan. Taylor North, my goodness, that's my old neck of the woods.
Is
yes,
it?
Yes, my goodness, that's the Detroit area. And a salute to the team from Ohio. You guys played well. But oh Michigan.
Did it feel a little better to beat Ohio, too? Does that make it a little sweeter?
See, I won't say anything. Because everybody played hard. And did you just see the team from Ohio? They applauded the Michigan team. It was, okay. You can find me on Twitter, Big Bar Sports.
Oh, the Pistons get the number one pick. Michigan wins the Little League World Series.
It's all happening. It's all happening.
It's all coming together for the Big Bar. And we're so happy for him after a long, long drought. I'm Mike Lynch. You can follow me at LynchyWCBB.
And I'm Jason Kelly. Follow me at Jason Kelly News. We're here each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday talking about the world of money and sports.
ESPN can get into sports betting. What more can a man ask for? You're listening to a Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio, around the world and online, wherever you get your podcasts.